thanks, Reed, for leading us in song. Great job. If you guys remember, a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, the last time I was up here speaking, we studied from Paul in the book of Ephesians. And in that lesson, we talked about at least what I consider a very important topic. We talked about Christian people. We talked about how some people, they sort of struggle leaving the world. Some people, they try and leave the world, and they'll do good, you know, for a couple weeks, maybe a couple of months, but ultimately they get pulled back in. It's like they have strings on them. And ultimately, it's really a sad picture. I can't even imagine losing out on salvation because of strings that pull us into the world. Now, if you weren't here, whenever it was, a couple of weeks ago, whenever I taught, I was talking about why this is important, why it's important that we remove the strings. And that lesson came from Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 17, Paul says, walk no longer as the Gentiles walk. He's saying, remove the strings. Don't live as the world anymore. Walk no longer as the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Paul here, he gives us a number of reasons about why it's important we should remove the strings. He says, the world walks in futility. The things they do and the way they think and ultimately their actions, it's futile. It's empty. That's one reason why we need to remove the strings. He said the world walks in ignorance. You know, they don't have the truth in Christ. And he said the world walks in death. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If I'm not walking with Christ, then ultimately, I'm walking towards death. And these are the reasons why we should remove the strings. But I got to admit, I kind of shortchanged you guys a little bit. You know, I gave you these important reasons why to remove the strings, but I didn't quite finish the lesson. It's like if your dad tells you about how it's really important to mow the lawn and how, you know, the city will come and charge you if you ultimately don't mow your lawn. And he gives you all of these important reasons why you should mow the lawn. But he never takes the time to teach you how to start the mower or how to mow the lawn. Now, I kind of left out how we should remove the strings. So that's what we are going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about how we remove the strings. And we're going to stay in the book of Ephesians like we were in the last lesson. And we're going to look at some of Paul's do not statements. Throughout Ephesians, Paul will say, do not do this. Or he'll say, do not do that. Well, here, he's telling us how to remove those strings. So that's where our lesson is going to come from tonight. So we're going to look at these do not statements, and we're going to learn how to remove the strings. So let's go ahead and jump into the lesson. First point is going to be from chapter 4 and verse 27. Chapter 4 and verse 27 of Ephesians. He says, do not give the devil an opportunity. That's the first point tonight. If we're going to remove the strings, we have to make sure that we're not giving the devil an opportunity. Let me ask you a question. Do you have, or have you gone through the experience of having that annoying brother or sister? Anybody gone through that experience? No one's looking around. No one wants to embarrass their brother or sister. You know, sometimes maybe you've gone through this where you'll tell your sibling, you know, hey, stay out of my room. And they're going to get as close to that doorpost as they can. And they'll be like, oh, I'm not in your room or whatever, you know, whatever they do. Or maybe you'll say, you know, hey, don't touch me. And then they'll get like 2 inches from your face. Be like, I'm not touching you. All right? Why do they do that? You know, they know what you're talking about. They understand what you're getting at. But really, they're pushing the boundaries, right? They're testing your patience. And really, it's kind of annoying. Well, sometimes this is how we treat God. You know, God can tell us, do not give the devil an opportunity. He could tell us, you know, stay away from the world. And what do we do sometimes? Sometimes we try and get as close to that doorpost as we can. Sometimes we push the boundaries. Maybe we're testing God's patience. Notice with me, this is not what the Ephesians did. The Ephesians, the Christians anyway, whenever they were converted, well, they made sure they didn't give the devil an opportunity. Turn back to the book of Acts, please. We looked at this in the last lesson, Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 18. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 18. This is when Paul was in Ephesus. It says, many also of those who had believed kept coming, confessing, and disclosing their practices. And many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and began burning them in the sight of everyone. And they counted up the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. These people, these Ephesians who were being converted, they were burning their magic books. And the Ephesians, they were pretty heavily into magic. That's one of the things that they did. But why were they burning those books? Think about it. Why did they do that? Well, they were saying, we're not going back. You know, they were saying, we're not going to give the devil an opportunity. It's like if someone wants to go through a transformation, a health transformation or something, and they lose this weight. And, you know, some people, whenever they do this, they'll get rid of all their old clothes that don't fit anymore. They'll just get rid of it. You know, some people will save their clothes just in case. But others will just get rid of them. Why? They're saying, oh, I'm not going back. Right? That's what the Ephesians were saying whenever they burned those books. They didn't want to give the devil an opportunity. They didn't want to be tempted by the devil. Like the Christians at Ephesus, we need to have the same exact attitude. They were willing to do what's necessary in order to please God, and we've got to do the same things. And that just means we're going to have to, we might just have to give up some things. For instance, if I have a problem with screens, every time I'm on some screen somewhere, I'm looking at something inappropriate, if I have that problem, well then, I don't need to be on the screens in private. You know, I need to keep my screens, whether it's TV, phone, or a computer, in a public place of the house. That's something I'm going to have to give up. That's what we've got to do. We can't give the devil an opportunity. Do you remember the story of Joseph? Joseph back in Genesis 39. Turn there quickly and we'll take a look at that. Genesis chapter 39. This is after Joseph had been, he'd been sold into slavery. He's in Potiphar's house now. Genesis 39, starting in verse 7. It says, it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There's no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? Now notice with me here who Joseph was primarily concerned for. Now, not necessarily himself and not primarily Potiphar. He was concerned about God and doing what God wills. Right? That's the attitude we should have. Let's continue. Verse 10. As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that when he went into the house to do his work, none of the men of the household was there inside. Uh-oh. Not a good situation. She caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. You see what Joseph did here? Joseph, he he was gone. He did not stay. He took off. Now, sometimes we can read this story and say to ourselves, was that a little extreme, maybe? You know, kind of just running off like that. Maybe did Joseph go a little too far? Let me just say, if we're ever in that position, young people, if you're ever in that position where you're facing immorality, older people, that's what I meant. I meant older people. If you're in that position where you're facing immorality, run. Take off. That's what Joseph did. He did not give the devil an opportunity. And if we want to effectively remove the strings, this is one of the things we're going to have to do. Make sure that we don't give the devil an opportunity. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 5 this time. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 7. This is where we'll see the second point I'd like to make from Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 7. Paul writes, therefore, do not be partakers with them. So if I'm going to remove the strings, another thing that I'm going to have to do is not be partakers with them. See, the world influences us. And Paul tells us, you got to make sure that the world doesn't. We have to make sure that we are working so that the world doesn't influence us. Paul says, that's who we used to be, right? Let's continue reading in verse 8. He says, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul says, we used to be darkness, but now we're not. Now, this is exactly what Paul expected of the men and women at Ephesus. Now, the Christians at Ephesus, they lived in just a different world, an interesting world, you know, to me. I look back and I think a lot of the things that they are doing is just very interesting. And the world that the Ephesian Christians lived in was a world surrounded by people who practice all of this stuff. You know, I talked about it in the last lesson, but if you weren't here, I'll go back over it quickly. Ephesus was like a center of magic in ancient times. We talked about how the Christians at Ephesus were burning their books. Well, whenever we find these books or these scrolls of magic, they're actually called Ephesian letters. Not necessarily because they're from Ephesus, but because magic was just such a big part of that community. And it wasn't only magic. They worshipped many gods. And being a Christian during that time, not practicing those things, worshipping one God, well, you had to kind of be the weird guy if you were a Christian. Christians were weird. And that was probably hard for the Christians at Ephesus. And Paul understood that. The atmosphere that they lived in, they were probably tempted to conform to the world. And that's why Paul tells them, don't be partakers with the Gentiles. You know, similarly, today, we're kind of the weird ones, right? You know, if you don't think that homosexuality is this innate thing that you're born with, you're weird, right? That's how people see you. You're extreme. You're on the extreme side of things. If you don't agree with every aspect of evolution, you're strange. Right, you're on the extreme side of society. You see, we have the temptation today also to conform to the world and its standards. And this is why Paul, he encourages us to be different. Let's go back to the book of 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start reading from verse 14. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul writes, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? You see, Paul, he's making the argument that people of God and people of the world, ultimately, they don't go together. I mean, look at the language he uses. What partnership? What law? What harmony? What in common? What agreement? They don't go together. Now, I'm not saying that we can't have friends of the world. Now, I have friends who are in the world, but my closest friends, the friends who I go to when I need advice or wisdom, the friends who I go to when I need prayers or when I need accountability, well, they're Christians. They are members of the church of God. We need to make sure that we are not partakers with them. And for some of us, this means that we're just going to have to build new and better relationships. And that's extremely important. You know, I preached a sermon where I talked about building the right relationships. And I mentioned a friend from work and how she changed. I have another friend. His name is Michael. And he's a Christian for a long time. He started dating this lady, and she was very, very bold in her beliefs, wouldn't change her mind. She had sort of atheistic beliefs on the liberal side, I guess politically, if you had to place her on the scale there. And ultimately, she was not a good influence on my friend. You know, he fell away. He eventually stopped believing in God, and they actually broke up, and he's been coming to church a little more. I've noticed that he's been attending some churches up in the Dallas and Fort Worth area, and that's good, but I just mentioned this because we really fool ourselves if we think that our friends don't have an influence on us. They do. They do. And that's why Paul encourages us not to be partakers with them. And that's another way we're going to remove the strings, by not being partakers. But that's not the only way. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians, please. Chapter 5 and verse 17. Chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul says, "So then, do not be foolish." And that's the last point I have for you tonight. If we're going to remove the strings, how do we do that? By not being foolish. In the last lesson, I talked about how the world walks in ignorance. You know, the Ephesians during that time, they were engulfed in ignorance. They just didn't have the truth. If the Ephesian Christians wanted to remove the strings, they had to make sure not to be foolish. Let's continue. I kind of stopped that verse halfway through. Let's finish verse 17. "So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." See, if we're going to remove the strings, we've got to make sure not to be foolish, but also to understand the will of the Lord. When I think of someone who just understood God, someone who had it right, I think of Abraham. You know, Abraham, he made some mistakes, but ultimately he was someone who understood the Lord. Let's go to Genesis chapter 13, please. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8, starting in verse 8. In the context here, Abraham and Lot, they've got a lot of stuff. Right, so they've got so much stuff that the land really can't support them both. So they have to split up, and you guys know the story, but let's read it anyway. Starting in verse 8, "Abraham said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left.' Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, and this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and exceedingly. And sinners against the Lord." See, we see here that after Lot and Abram separated, well, Lot, he sort of goes and stays on the outskirts of Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't want to get close to the city because the city was wicked. But let's go forward a few chapters. Genesis chapter 19, in verse 1. Genesis chapter 19 in verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. Where's Lot now? Well, Lot is in the city. But notice with me where Abraham is. Let's go to verse 27, please. Same chapter. Now Abraham arose early in the morning and went to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace. Now, if we track this back, Abraham is still exactly where he was before. Now, Abraham understood that it may not be sinful to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't think Lot sinned. The New Testament tells us that Lot was ultimately, he was righteous. So it wasn't a sin to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. But I believe Abraham understood he couldn't live in a place like that and it not affect him spiritually. Abraham understood what God wanted from him, and Lot kind of missed it. It may not have been a sinful choice, but the choice that Lot made was unwise, and it affected him spiritually. We've got to make sure that we understand the Lord. We've got to make sure that we understand the will of the Lord like Abraham. But how do we do that? Honestly, we've got to spend time in the Word, right? If I'm going to understand what God wants and how God thinks, I've got to spend time, meditate on the Word of God. So, how do I remove the strings? I got to make sure that I don't give the devil an opportunity. I have to make sure that I'm not partakers with the world, but also I have to make sure that I'm not foolish, but I understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, there are a lot of people who just get caught in this trap of the world, and they keep going back. They have these strings. Hopefully this lesson can change something. Hopefully this lesson can teach us to how and why it's important to remove those strings. Because, as I said in the last lesson, I don't want to be on judgment. I don't want to be standing in front of the throne on judgment day, knowing that I was here in this building with good people, but I heard those horrible words, "Depart from me," because of strings. In the Pinocchio movie, Pinocchio, he sang a song, and I'm just going to read the lyrics here. He says, "I've got no strings to hold me down, to make me fret or make me frown. I had strings, but now I'm free. There are no strings on me." The Christian life is the life where we're free. And as Mr. Randy aptly noted in one of his lessons previously, we're free to serve. We're free to serve one another. And we are free to serve God. Well, that's the type of life that I want to be a part of. But maybe there's someone here who's not quite ready. Maybe there's someone here who has those strings. Now let me tell you, I turned around to one of the young people before service started, and because they were talking about, you know, "Are you going to preach today?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm kind of freaked out. You know, every time I get up here, I'm freaking out." You know, and they're like, "Well," she was like, "Why do you want to preach?" Look, we don't ask those questions, okay? We don't ask those questions. I may be freaked out to get up here, but I'm more terrified to hear those horrible words on judgment. So maybe there's someone here today who has those strings. If you want to remove them, you can do that today. Maybe there's someone here who hasn't entered into a relationship with Christ just yet. It's important. If you're ready, you can be baptized into his death right now. Do that right now as we stand and as we sing.